Ultrasound Gel Podcast. Ultrasound Gel
Podcast. Hello, and welcome to Ultrasound Gel Podcast, Gathering Evidence from the Literature. Today we're going to be discussing a paper titled Extension of the Thoracic Spine Sign, a New Sonographic Marker of Pleural Effusion. But before we get into that, I wanted to give you an introduction to our podcast. Our goal is to discuss recent and interesting articles about the use of point-of-care ultrasound in medicine. We're hoping that by providing you with some of the evidence out there, it will allow you to keep your practice informed so that you can continue to use ultrasound and know what an appropriate use of ultrasound is. Joining me today, Cray Bolger and Jacob Avila. Cray, can you tell us about this paper?
Thanks, Mike. So the extension of the thoracic spine sign was published in the Journal of Ultrasound Medicine by Eitan Dickman et al. From Maimonides Medical Center. This was published in 2015. So we all know that ultrasound can be used for the detection of pleural effusions in your dyspneic patient. And so this study looked at how sensitive and specific was ultrasound in detection of pleural effusions using the spine sign to hopefully increase the sensitivity and specificity. So it was a prospective convenience sample in the ED, and the images were acquired by a study sonologist, so they were only acquired when the study sonologist was available. And the inclusion criteria were any patients over the age of 18 who were getting a chest CT or an abdominal CT. The exclusion criteria were, obviously, if the patient did not consent, the patient could not tolerate lying at 45 degrees, they had known pleural effusions, previous lung surgery, or pleurodesis. And what they did is they laid the patient supine and obtained mid-axillary line views in both the left and right lung bases, looking for both an anechoic fluid collection and or the spine sign. When they acquired the images, they noted any impediments to the exam. Their total number of patients was 41, so they had 82 hemithoraces, and they had 7 patients that were excluded because they were not able to obtain images. On average, it took between 3 and 13 minutes, so quite a significant spread of time between those two. And 25% of these patients had a CT-confirmed pleural effusion. Of these 25%, 2 of these were large, 12 were small, and 5 were trace effusions. In the end, the thoracic spine sign had a 73.7% sensitivity and a 92.9% specificity. If you do the spine sign and anechoic fluid collection, there was 78.9% sensitive and 87.5% specific.
All right, that's a great summary. So one thing I wanted to point out that you mentioned early on, you said that it was sonologists performing the study, and I just want to clarify for the listeners that we don't mean sonographers or people that were trained to perform ultrasound but don't care for the patient clinically. We're discussing actual physicians that are doing point-of-care ultrasound and are knowledgeable about both the performance and the interpretation of it. But these were providers that had some ultrasound experience. So I think that the endpoints that they got were pretty interesting. So sensitivity of around 74%, specificity 93%. And then they did some other things with it to try to make that a little bit better by either adding an anechoic fluid with that, and then it bumps up to about 80% sensitive and 90% specific. And then they even went further and said, what if we take out all the trace effusions that were seen on the CT? And when they did that, the spine sign is even more sensitive, so 93% sensitive, although the specificity is about the same, still 93% specific. So, Cray, any limitations that you can see with this study?
Yeah, I mean, in general, it was a small study. There was clearly an expert obtaining the images. So I think that limits its ability to be extrapolated to the general emergency medicine population. As many of us know, there's a lot of variability in people's scanning abilities. And lung is one of kind of the new frontiers with point-of-care ultrasound or physician-performed ultrasound. So I think having only one sonologist who had a lot of experience definitely is a limitation of the study. In addition, their exclusion criteria are honestly some of the patient population I'm most concerned about. Those who can't lie flat, you know, that undifferentiated dyspneic patient, that undifferentiated hypoxic patient. I really care more about the symptomatic patient than Joe Schmo who just happens to be getting a CAT scan. I think that's probably my biggest concerns with the study.
Yeah, that's a great point. Even patients that had had prior effusions were excluded, and that's a patient where you definitely want to check to see if their effusion's getting larger and could be attributing to some of their symptoms. But otherwise, it is a great study because we at least know a ballpark now of how good this finding is when we see it. Another thing to bring up, with it being a small study, there were pretty large confidence intervals, so they extended as low as 30s and 40s percent. So that's just something to keep in mind, that with a larger population, we may have had a little more of an accurate number. And it was a single center, which is understandable, but does cause it to lack some external validity for that. And then one thing that you brought up, Cray, that I thought was good, it can sometimes take up to 13 minutes to do in this study. And these are people that have, I think, had some experience doing lung ultrasound. So for a community physician that is maybe single coverage and just trying to move patients through really quickly, that 13 minutes can be kind of painful. Anything else you wanted to add, Cray? How is this going to change your practice?
So I don't think it's necessarily going to change what I do on a day-to-day basis, as I'm already using lung ultrasound pretty regularly for pulmonary edema, pleural effusions, pneumothorax. But I do think it gives some clout to what we do. Lung ultrasound, like I mentioned earlier, is a fairly new frontier when it comes to point-of-care or physician-performed ultrasound. And so I think any numbers that validate our abilities are always helpful. I think this is a great jumping-off point for future research, a multi-center study, all physicians performing it, and really bringing in those patients who are truly symptomatic and then looking at how good our numbers are there. More often than not, our patients can't get into the position we want them to be in, but we still want to use the ultrasound to get some answers. And so I'd love to see how these numbers hold out in that kind of situation.
Yeah, that's a great point. And just to give some context for these numbers, an ultrasound that a lot of people use commonly is the FAST exam. Looking at some of the numbers from studies on that show that the sensitivity can range from 75 to 86% with a specificity of 95 to 99%. Compared to the spine sign, which if we're talking about adding the anechoic fluid pocket, that's almost 80% sensitive and around 90% specific. So that's pretty similar, maybe a little less specific, but that'll just give you a little bit of context for how you can use this. So I totally agree, Cray. It's useful to know these numbers when we're doing the exams and when we get it or we don't get it. Now we know the chances are that it's actually there. And now let's hear Jacob's take. Jacob?
Hey guys, Jacob here. So this is a good study because it asks the question, how accurate is a spine sign in ruling in or ruling out a pleural effusion? Let's look at their results. They had a 92.9% specificity, which is good, but more important to an emergency provider is the sensitivity. Their sensitivity was reported to be 73.7%, which is better than a supine x-ray or physical exam, but this number is still pretty low and does not reflect what I've seen in my clinical practice, nor what the rest of the available literature shows. They even state in their own article that in the available literature, the sensitivity for ultrasound for pleural effusion ranges from 83.6% to 100%. I have a few thoughts as to why this may be, and it may have to do with methods. First off, they took any patient that was in the ED who happened to get a CT scan of the abdomen, the chest, or both, and looked for the presence of pleural effusions. Why would you do that? Why would you need to know the accuracy of ultrasound for detecting pleural effusions in patients who don't have respiratory symptoms? If they had limited it to patients with respiratory complaints, we may have different results. Also, they place the transducer in the mid-axillary line and identify the diaphragm slash base of the lung bilaterally and looked there for the spine sign. They imply in their methods that this is the only place that they looked. The reason I'm making this assumption is due to the fact that they kind of said that in their methods and the fact that when they added the search for a, quotes, anechoic fluid collection in the thorax, their specificity actually suffered. It went from 92.9% to 87.5%. They state that they suspect that their false positive anechoic fluid collections were possibly due to rib shadows. Now, if you move the probe in an anterior-posterior direction, you can easily see if that dark area you see on your ultrasound is due to a rib shadow or thoracic fluid. Along those lines, identifying the presence or absence of a pleural effusion often takes me all the way past the posterior axillary line. Occasionally, I have to sit my patient up so I can get far enough back to see the lung base adequately. This is especially true on the left side where you have a much smaller acoustic window of the spleen compared to the liver. If you only look at the mid-axillary line, you'll definitely miss effusions. One thing I liked that they did was they did a second calculation where they excluded, quotes, trace effusions. When they did that, their sensitivity did go up from 73.7% to 92.9%, which is much better. And honestly, even though this is a sort of a subgroup analysis, I'm totally okay with it because who cares about a trace pleural effusion? Also, the sensitivities and specificities are good things to have, but the more important statistics to me are the likelihood ratios, which basically tell me if I can use these tests clinically or not. The spine sign has a great positive likelihood ratio of 10.3, which means that if you see it, you can be very confident that your patient has a pleural effusion. However, the negative likelihood ratio of 0.3 demonstrates that its absence does not mean that your patient doesn't have a pleural effusion. However, if their methods were slightly different, I imagine their negative likelihood ratio would be at least as good as their positive likelihood ratio. So, while I'm super stoked this study was done, really it's too small. Out of 82 hemothoraces they evaluated, they only had 19 total pleural effusions, and if you exclude the trace ones, the prevalence was only 17%. I just don't think it was enough patients to make any firm conclusions, and it's reflected as such in their wide confidence intervals.
Thanks, Jacob. So, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you later.
More. Pressure. More. Gel. More pressure, more gel,
more ultrasound gel podcast. More.